If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, James Vickers. You can reach us on the show at Championship Pod, and you can follow my personal Twitter account, which is at @_JamesVickers, where I mainly tweet about Preston North End.
Hi, I'm Kevin Markey, editor of Leeds United Mad, Twitter handle @LeedsUnited_Mad. Obviously, everything related to Leeds, the ins and outs and the ups and downs, whatever, are recorded on my website.
Hi, I'm Andy Buckley-Staylor. I'm a Derby County blogger for the Derbyshire Times and all their sister titles. You can find me on Twitter at BuckTaylor64 and also a Facebook page with all the links to the various podcasts and articles I'm involved with. And you'll find that at Book Taylor's Derby blog.
I'm Simeon Pickup, I'm editor of the Tower West End. Loads of Reading content, analysis, news, opinion, all of that. And you can find me on Twitter at SimFrombucks.
Yeah, cheers for joining me today, guys. Obviously, we've had the first full set of fixtures apart from the Hull-Aston Villa game, which is tomorrow as we're recording this. So I'll start by running through the results from the weekend so far. Obviously, one game that we'll get into, Frank Lampard's Derby County came out 2-1 winners away at Reading. Just thought I'd get the Frank Lampard mention in there because everyone else seems to be doing. Then we move into Saturday, Birmingham and Norwich finished 2-2. Brentford, probably the result of the weekend, won 5-1 against Rotherham. Bristol City and Nottingham Forest drew 1-1. Ipswich and Blackburn drew 2-2. The same as Millwall and Middlesbrough, again 2-2. Preston, good for me, beat QPR 1-0. Probably the surprise result, Bolton won 2-1 away at West Brom. Wigan won 3-2 at home to Sheffield Wednesday. And Swansea won 2-1 away at Sheffield United. And then the game today, which was played earlier on, Leeds United beat Stoke City 3-1. So we'll start with you first on this, Kev. If you want to touch on the Leeds game first, obviously, you know, seeing it on TV, a fantastic home debut for Bielsa. What did you make of the game? And then going back onto yesterday's games, are there any that stood out in particular for you?
Yeah, well, obviously today was a very intense game, really. Obviously, Stoke City were favourites, to be fair, to sort of turn us over. And I think a lot of Leeds fans thought if we got a point from the game, it would be a good result, because obviously the spending that Stoke have made over the last sort of few weeks, bringing in some top players, keeping in most of the players that came down, really. So we always knew it was going to be a tough game, but surprisingly enough, sort of from kickoff, really, we sort of took the game to them, really. I think we played 4-1-4-1 formation and they couldn't really cope with us at all. Everybody was pressing down the Stoke players, incisive passing, fighting for every ball, you know, creating great chances as well. It could have been 3 or 4 at half-time and it wouldn't have been a major surprise. So, yeah, they really sort of, in front of about 34,000 fans as well on a Sunday afternoon, which isn't bad. Obviously, Stoke bought a couple of thousand, made it a good atmosphere. Yeah, I think they surprised the whole ground, really, because they really looked really up for it, and it's probably one of the best performances we've seen in a long time at Elland Road. And I think Bielsa is obviously working hard with the players. He could tell they were absolutely exhausted after the game because they put everything into it, unlike Stoke, who thought maybe, perhaps, that if they just turned up, you know, they'd probably get a good result, but obviously they'll learn quickly that they have to work a bit harder than that to get a result in the Championship. But I think they will obviously come good eventually because they've got a good squad and a good coach. But I think we did surprise them today, and it was probably a good time to play them with it being the first game of the season, because obviously they didn't really know what to expect from the Championship. They've been out of it for about 9 seasons, And I think now they've got a real good description of how they've got to sort of play now to battle the way in the games and by the way we did for the whole 90 minutes. So a great result and a great performance.
Yeah, just before you move on to the games yesterday, Kev, yeah. Kemar Roofe up front for you. I know there was a lot made, especially on the Sky Sports studio, about him being more of a number 10, unable to play as a number 9 up top. How do you think he did? Sort of watching it on TV, I thought he was one of your best players today. Are you confident that if he plays as that 9 up top all season, he can sort of firstly keep Bamford out of the team, and secondly, he can be the man to sort of fire you into the playoffs and hopefully, from your point of view, further up the table?
Yeah, I mean, he did stand out. His work rate was immense, and he probably could have got a goal or two as well. But I think buying Bamford has really upped his game a little bit, because he knows now there's a bit of, you know, he's got to fight for his place in the team. This is his third full season at Elland Road now, and he hasn't really reached the heights he had. Obviously, he was in League Two with Oxford, but he hasn't reached the heights people thought or expected from him over the last couple of seasons. But I think that performance today, it was absolutely immense. And like I say, I don't think he's going to find it difficult to play like that every game, every single week, but because he put so much into it. But the fact is that he lasted the whole, whatever it was, 96 minutes without Bamford getting a sniff of getting onto the pitch. So that shows you how well he played. And yeah, he got the Man of the Match award from the TV, Sky TV. And obviously, it probably just shaded it from Liam Cooper and Matthias Klik, who both had excellent games as well. But hard to pick a man of the match when he played like that. But I think Roofe, yeah, I think he's done himself no harm now. And Bamford will know he's got a bit of a fight to get into the team. And to say that we spent, what, $7 million on Bamford, and you'd really expect him to go straight into the team. But obviously, it just shows him now he's got to sort of fight to get in there. When he gets in there, he's got to perform. So that's a good sign for us, really.
Yeah, completely agree with you, and Kev. And, you know, hopefully from your point of view, he carries on sort of in that vein of form throughout the remainder of this season, which seems daft to say considering we're only one game in. But to have that option of Bamford off the bench as well, you know, must be really pleasing for you. Before we touch on sort of the majority of the fixtures over the league, I'll pass it over to Kev. I'm getting you two mixed up, to Simeon and Andy. Friday night's game, a lot of focus on Frank Lampard, you know, his first game in sort of football management in a competitive game. Eventually came out 2-1 winners with a really good header off Tom Lawrence in the last minute, which I know from your point of view, Simeon, must have been bitterly disappointing, because I thought Reading, for the most part of the game, impressed me, considering sort of seeing how many pundits have almost wrote them off before a ball's even been kicked this season. How did you see the game sort of going, and do you sort of have confidence that Reading can sort of stay in the league this season?
Yeah, it was really frustrating for us, to be honest. Going into it, as you say, we weren't particularly fancied by anyone. Don't have a huge amount of quality in the side, certainly not to the level that Derby do after some really good signings they've brought in. But I thought we were really good on Friday. We were very compact, very disciplined, very energetic in the midfield. Thought we stopped Derby playing really well for certainly all of the first half, and a bit of the second half as well, but particularly the first half when we pressed really well. We broke on them pretty well and got a few good chances, and we probably should have gone in 1-2 up at half-time, to be honest. Dipped a little bit after half-time when Derby really improved a lot, but we got that goal that we needed. So it's just really frustrating to throw it away in the manner we did. The equaliser was really disappointing from our point of view. Manone should have kept it out at his near post. But then the winner, from our point of view, it's one of those goals you can't really stop, to be honest. Really good cross in from Mason Bennett, I think it was. And as you say, a really great header from Lawrence. So although we're frustrated by that, we can still take a lot of positives from how we had set up in the first half and done pretty well. Particularly seeing how bad last season was, that we just didn't have any fight, didn't have any spirit. And that all seems to have come back a lot in this game, at least. So if we can carry that on starting next week at Forest, and then maybe a few games after that, just get that first win quite quickly, hopefully, then hopefully build over the next couple of months. I'm not immediately confident that we're going to have a really good season, but there's some good signs there.
Yeah, and to get your point of view on the game, Andy, how did you see the game going? And, you know, what have you made of Frank Lampard so far? I know there's been a lot of media attention on him, and, you know, you're going to get that when you get a sort of a famous Premier League player coming down into his first job in management. What have you made of him so far, and how do you see your season going?
How do I see the season going? It's very difficult. He's a rookie manager with up to Friday zero experience. But what did impress me Friday night was Reading took the initiative more in the first half, and we had to ride it out a bit. I think both teams were very wasteful in the final third. But after the break in the second half, we saw evidence of a plan B there, because earlier on in the game, we were trying to play it out from the back through passing. And I don't know if you noticed in the second half, that first pass from the defence was a little bit longer. And it was pointed out by several people that Richard Keogh didn't look altogether comfortable with the original game plan there. And he's the sort of defender that usually he can take the ball out and run the ball out and, you know, up and into the opposition half. And this passing it out from the back, not quite used to. And it's like anything. I mean, I had Fulham fans telling me it was very similar to them last year when they started that style of football. It took a few games to click. But when it does click, when everybody's on the same page, it's well worth the wait. But overall, I think, I don't know, the whole 92 minutes is splitting hairs, really, to set two sides. I thought, our equaliser there, goalkeeper may have done better for that, but I think there was a defender stood in his line of sight, which didn't help things. But then again, he also made a good stop when Harry Wilson had a chance. So I wouldn't be too harsh on their keeper for that. I was all set for the draw until that ball in from Mason Bennett, which was a superb pass. And Tom Lawrence will never score a better header than that. And, you know, what can you say? But before the game, a lot of people were tipping Reading to be amongst the whipping boys this season. I don't think they will be. The squad they've got at the minute, I don't think it's a top six squad. But a couple of additions would make the world of difference to them. And I think it's in the final third of the field where they need to be looking. They need somebody clinical up front. I know Bodvarsson didn't have a bad game, and Barrow on the wing played very well for them. And they're not a million miles away, and I think they'll draw a few more positives than they will negatives. And the same for us, rookie manager, you can't get a better start than that. But we'll see how it continues next Saturday when we've got Leeds United visiting us.
Yeah, I think you summed that up quite nicely there, Andy. I think seeing it from my point of view on the TV, it was one of those typical first games of the season. I think Derby, you'll get better as the season goes on. I think the squad that Lampard's got in, you know, will really gel over the next couple of sort of months. And I think you'll be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. And I think Reading, again, as you said, looking at them on TV on Friday night, it's hard to go off one game, but I think they should be all right. And as you said, a couple more additions. And I know sort of talking to you over the last 12 months, Simeon, you were sort of mentioning the need for a clinical forward player. So similar to Preston, you know, if each of us can get one of them in, I think you'll be sort of safe mid-table this season. And, you know, hopefully Preston can push on a bit. But sort of to go into the games from yesterday, we covered the Friday night game and the game today. Are there any sort of in particular that stand out for you? We'll start with you first, Kev. Sort of looking back over the fixtures yesterday, are there any that caught your eye in particular?
Yeah, there's some entertaining games, really. I think Millwall obviously should have been out of sight by the time Middlesbrough came back into it, but they have to settle for a point. Likewise, at Birmingham and Norwich were sounded an entertaining game as well. But I think the standout for me is Bolton's win at West Brom. I thought, you know, they only won one game away from home last season. To beat a team like West Brom, who like Stoke and Swansea, other teams that have got relegated, are sort of favoured to bounce straight back up again. They looked out of sorts and they've got a bit of work to do themselves. So, good fair play to Phil Parkinson at Bolton. He got a good win there, and they got off to a good start. So that for me is the outstanding result. You got to feel a bit sorry. I think the only team that should worry after the first game, like you shouldn't really worry when you had one game, and because there's plenty of games to go in this league, 45 more games. But I think Rotherham, obviously losing 5-1 at Brentford, they've got to start worrying straight away that. It's hard to come back from a defeat like that. They've got to really bounce back now and get some victories. And it's always difficult when you've been sort of, you know, you're back on a 5-1 defeat to get yourself motivated again. So it's going to be a long season for Rotherham, I think. And they're going to find it tough this season.
Yeah, and same question to you, Andy. Are there any games in particular that stood out for you over the course of yesterday?
Well, I think the Bolton game stands out above all the games as the biggest surprise of a win. I do think West Brom will finish in the top six, and I hope they do as well. I think Darren Moore's a really good guy, and I wish him all the best there. But Bolton last season, I would say without any doubt, were the poorest away side to visit Derby. And as it's been pointed out, they only won one away game last season. So to pull off a result like that, I think they need to take a bow for that. Millwall, even though last season they had that run and only just missed out on the playoffs, I think Middlesbrough would have fancied their chances. They had a good late run as well last season, and they were nearly beaten. Millwall went 2-0 up. And they had other chances to finish the game off, but Middlesbrough came back at them. But I think overall, you're looking at all the games yesterday, and I think this season, this division is just going to be tighter than ever. I think realistically, there's 12 to 14 teams in the division that are in with a real chance of going up.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Andy. I think this season it's going to be a lot sort of more open than it was last season. I think Wolves in particular ran away with it, obviously, last season. And I think the league as a whole this season is a lot closer from a wider range of teams. So I think probably between now and the end of the season, I don't think one team will pull away at the top of the league. I think it's going to be a lot of chopping and changing, especially in the top sort of eight upwards. You know, there's not really a team that you can say, looking at, obviously it's not the best to judge on one round of fixtures, but seeing someone that'll pull away, obviously Brentford had that good win against Rotherham, but I think Rotherham are going to be the sort of the whipping boys, if you like, this season, and the team that really do struggle. Are there any games in particular for you that we haven't covered yet, Simeon, that stood out from your point of view?
Yeah, I think the Brentford and Bolton wins are probably the most obvious ones. Brentford getting a really comfortable win together to get the morale up nice and early, and Bolton getting their surprise win. But I guess apart from that, Swansea getting a late win at Sheffield United as well, getting a really a late win is always good for the confidence. Getting it live on Sky as well, just those little things that give you that little bit more of confidence going into a season, especially when you've got a new manager. And on the whole, they're the only relegated side that have got a win over the weekend. So that's another little boost for them. Still early days, so it might all dissipate over the coming weeks, but it's a good morale boost for them at the start of the season.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I think the one that stood out for me that we haven't really touched on yet is, and I know it sounds daft to say, I think the Swansea win away at Sheffield United is sort of one that stands out. To go to, you know, a place like Sheffield United, who were unlucky to miss out on the playoffs last season, in your first game coming down from the Premier League where you've been used to getting beat most weeks, and, you know, with the team that Swansea have assembled, it's quite a young squad, and to go behind, you know, midway through the second half to a Sheffield United team which were full of confidence, it would have been easy for them, like sort of West Brom and Stoke, to sort of fall off and suffer that defeat on the opening weekend. But, you know, to their credit, they came back. Ollie McBurnie, who I know Louis filled in the podcast last week and tipped sort of a few players to be top goal scorer in the league this season. I think you only have to look at Ollie McBurnie, and he's one of the safe bets for being there or thereabouts. And, you know, that's who my money's going to be on. For them to get back into it the way they did and snatch a late winner at Sheffield United, you know, was really impressive from their point of view. I think it'll take them a while to find their feet in the division, especially with the young players they've got who, you know, the majority haven't really experienced the Championship season for the most part before they've brought in some good additions.
I think somebody mentioned that from the team that got relegated, there were already three from the final Premier League game of the season in the team. So Graham Potter has really transformed the squad there. And that was their first win this calendar year away from home as well. So it was on top of that, it was a fantastic start for them. So it will give them a lot of confidence, like you say, to progress now in this league.
Definitely. I think one of the stats that I saw as well to go on from that, Kev, is that out of their starting 11 yesterday against Sheffield United, I think 10 of them didn't start the last game of last season, which, you know, shows how many players they've brought in over the summer and sort of changed their team around. So it's a whole new look Swansea team, and if how they were in the Championship last time is anything to go by, you know, they could be in for quite an exciting season. But, you know, it's going to take that young team time to gel, and hopefully from their point of view they can find their feet sooner rather than later, get the wins on the board and the points on the board early, and, you know, have a good season. But if we sort of move on, and we've sort of covered a few games there, are there any games, and this is sort of an open floor if anyone wants to jump in, are there any teams that we haven't necessarily mentioned in the talk of, you know, teams going up automatically this season that you think could be the surprise package? And any teams sort of, again, on a negative point of view that you think will struggle this season where sort of not many people have tipped them to struggle?
Well, I could only put that in the bracket of automatic promotion because I think the sport, as I've said, I think there's 12 to 14 teams that could certainly end up being promoted. Whether it's via automatic or via the playoffs, it is another matter. That I'm liking what I saw from Brentford at the weekend, and, you know, I'm just wondering, could they be a surprise package for the autos? They've got a very good side. They season after season they have to sell players, but they seem very capable of getting more than adequate replacements for them. They've sold Florian Josephson to ourselves, but already they seem to have a replacement lined up. And you just never know, do you? Could they do a Bournemouth? That's my thoughts anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Brentford will surprise a few people, but I don't think they'd be surprising people or teams now for the last sort of couple of seasons, losing top players and then just finding really good replacements to come in. I mean, Ryan Woods is the next prediction for them to lose a top player. There's a sort of team sniffing about, including ourselves. And to lose such quality players and then replace them with, you know, some players that you never really heard of is amazing. So there could be dark horses, like you say, but if they keep hold of Dean Smith, that is, as well, because there's been overtures for his, you know, for his work elsewhere. Villa were sort of sniffing around, but I'm sure another top team will be looking at his work at Brentford and think, you know, he could probably do a good job elsewhere. Obviously, Middlesbrough are going to be up there as well. They've just sold Gibson, I believe, to Burnley for a few quid, so they've got a lot of money to spend between now and Thursday for, you know, replacement players. So they're always going to be in the top, around the top six, I think. But for me, the most exciting thing about this season is I don't think there'll be a Wolves this season sort of running away with the league, or a Newcastle or Brighton previous season. I think it's going to be wide open, and the top two positions, I think, are up for grabs, really. Obviously, the relegated teams are going to be up there, but there's going to be a few surprises, including Brentford, and the top six is just wide open, really, between, you know, loads of teams, apart from Rotherham, maybe, unfortunately. But there's going to be lots of teams involved in the end-of-season promotion, which makes it one of the best leagues around, I think, because it's so unpredictable. You could beat a team at the top one week and then lose to a team near the bottom. That's how it goes. Consistency is required for this league, and the teams that capture that will do well, but it's a very difficult 46-game season, and I think it's going to be plenty of ups and downs for a lot of teams this season.
I guess for another dark horse, Bristol City as well, what they're doing down there. I know they didn't win at the weekend, but they're kind of similar to Brentford in that they're really good at having some good players, and yeah, they're going to have to sell them on to other clubs, but they can replace them really well. You look at Bobby Reid going off to Cardiff, replacing him with Mo Issah from Cheltenham. Same thing with Aidan Flint getting replaced by Adam Webster. They've got good recruitment network, so being able to sell their best players, but still bring a good talent. I think they're going to do well over the next couple of years. Maybe not this year, maybe not automatics, but courses for this year, certainly. Looking at the job that Lee Johnson's done as well. How they tailed away at the back half of last season quite a bit, but they've got a bright manager who's building something over the long term, and eventually I can see him getting into the Premier League.
Yeah, I think one team that we haven't really touched on as well that, you know, I could be way off the mark here, but they've, especially their recruitment over the summer, and, you know, they had the same manager from last season as well as Norwich. They've still got Fark in charge. They've brought in, you know, a few players from Germany, players like Passlight. They've got Leitner now sort of tied down. And I think, you know, if they can keep the core of that squad together and really bat the manager this season, there's no reason why they can't sort of push on and challenge for definitely a playoff spot. I think the last two seasons from their point of view have been really disappointing. They are one of the sort of quote bigger names in the division, and it's took them a lot longer than they would have liked to have found their feet over the last couple of seasons, but I think they're poised now to give it a really good go. And I agree with you in terms of the Bristol sort of tip, Simeon. I think, you know, they've kept the core of that squad together. The sort of only real issue I see from their point of view is how they're going to replace the goals of Bobby Reid. But, you know, if Vyman's anything to go by, he scored a few in pre-season, got the goal yesterday against Nottingham Forest. If he can stay fit and keep putting the goals away for them, I think they'll be there or thereabouts again. So I think, yeah, it's as you said, Kev, there's going to be a lot wider range of teams in the division this year that could possibly challenge for the playoffs and automatics. And I think it only makes for a more exciting season. You know, not that last season was sort of underwhelming in any sense, but, you know, to have a lot more teams challenging for the same amount of places is, you know, going to sort of keep it tense right down to the wire. But sort of to move on to the three teams that have come down from the Premier League this season, I know we've touched on their results and sort of how they got on. I wanted to start with Stoke first, and I'll come to you first, and Kev, on this. Obviously, you played them today. How do you assess their sort of summer recruitment, and how do you see them getting on probably for the first 3 months of the season and then the rest of the season onwards? Do you think it'll take them a bit of time to bed in, or do you think they can hit the ground running, you know, in a game or two's time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously today I think was a blip, really. I think it's a bit of a wake-up call to them that, you know, they'll have to work a bit harder to get a result in this league. I saw nothing from many of the players today that suggests that, you know, they're going to be up there or thereabouts, but things can change so much in this league, and next week they'll probably, you know, you'll probably see a better Stoke City team. But, you know, they've got Butland in goal, who's obviously just come back from the World Cup, but he made a slight howler for the second goal today. But he may not be even there in a week or two because of this Premiership, Premier League clubs after him. But if you look at the whole squad, I mean, you know, they've got even Crouchy, you know, he came on as a sub today and he was sort of really quite funny to watch, really. He's not used to playing in the Championship too much, but he was, you know, winning all the aerial battles like you'd expect, and we were having a bit of trouble sort of trying to get up near him, really. But if you look at Crouch, obviously he's got a lot of experience, and they've got experience, they've got youth there as well in the team. I think they'll, yeah, Ince is a good signing from Huddersfield. I think he's more of a Championship player than he is a Premier League player. I think he'll have a good season there. He hit the woodwork with a 30-yard shot. So if that had gone in, it could have been a different story. But if you look at all around, you know, the team, Afobe up front, he was outstanding last season when he was on loan at Wolves. Got a great goal at Elland Road, I remember, as well, for Wolves. Yeah, and obviously Alan in the middle, he's an experienced figure as well. They're going to get, you know, they're going to get more wins than anything with the ability in the squad. Like I say, it's probably a good time for us to play them today, the opening day, because obviously they didn't really know what to expect. But now they do. I think they'll readjust. Gary Rowett knows the league. He's been there before, so he knows what it's all about. I think he'll get things. He was very humble in his, talking after the game, saying obviously the Leeds deserve to win and everything, and we'll have to sort of readjust and get used to things. And he's right, you know, it's going to take a few games, but I think Stoke will. I'd say they're definitely going to be in the top six at the end of the season with the amount of money they've got to spend and the current squad they've got. There's no doubt that they'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, same question to you, Andy, but I think this time if we focus on Swansea from your point of view, how do you sort of see them getting on this season with the young squad that they've got, as we've mentioned, and how do you see them over the first sort of 3 months and then sort of the rest of the season onwards?
The evidence from yesterday, and it was only the first game of the season, and it's been pointed out there was only 3 players that finished or played in the last game of last season in the Premier League, that would indicate to me that Potter's already making his mark on the team and setting up and selecting players to play his brand of football. I think Swansea, along with the other two relegated teams, will either be in or around the top six at the end of the season. I can't see them doing a Sunderland. And I think it was a brave move by the board by appointing the manager who had previously just worked abroad, but he's come in. Obviously, he knows his onions, and he's chosen a game plan which he thinks will be effective. And it's a bit of a contrast because I can actually remember Swansea on the rise a few years ago when, in reality, it all started off with Roberto Martinez with their slick passing game. But it's evolved over the years through different styles and different managers. But overall, they're going to be there or thereabouts. And no doubt they'll be wanting to get back in the Premier League and seeing that other Welsh side make the reverse journey.
Yeah, and if we come to you now, Simeon, about West Brom, how do you see them getting on for the first part of the season and then for the rest of the season onwards? Do you think they can bounce straight back up?
Yeah, I worry about them, to be honest. They've got a lot of low morale at the moment after that late loss, and just looking at some of the comments from West Brom fans on Twitter after the game, really unimpressed by some of the performances, and particularly when you look at the side that they were putting out, a lot of it was the same players that were underperforming in the Premier League. And even if you're going back to, say, that taxi scandal last season, it's clear that there's a really kind of negative vibe set in at the club on the pitch and off the pitch. I know Darren Moore's come in and he's a very popular guy, but there's only so much that an inexperienced manager can do. I'd like to see him be given a chance over a long period, but if he has a tough couple of weeks, couple of months, then he might end up getting the sacks sooner rather than later. They seem to almost be in a similar position to when they came down a few years ago. They've got a lot of good players, but if they don't adapt well and if they don't really start to get the feel-good factor back, then they might start to struggle.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about West Brom. I think the majority of their squad, unlike Swansea, you know, they've kept from last season. And as we saw with Sunderland last season, I think they have a better squad than Sunderland did. But, you know, to keep that core of players who we used to losing week in, week out, to suffer an opening day defeat against, you know, Bolton, who were sort of near the drop zone last season, and in the manner that they did as well, you know, to concede a last-minute goal. You know, Wilshut scored, I think, in the 88th, 89th minute. Only sort of further increases the sort of doom and gloom factor around the Hawthorns at the moment. And I think, you know, the sooner they can get points on the board, the better for them. Because I think if it goes to sort of that first international break in September, about four or five games in, and, you know, they've only got sort of three or four points, then, you know, panic alarms will be going for them. So I think out of the teams that have come down, I think Stoke will probably finish the highest. I think Swansea and them will be sort of in and around the playoffs. I think West Brom, I don't think they'll go down. I think their squad's sort of too good for that. I reckon they could have sort of around about a 10th place finish unless, you know, they can get their act together quickly and start to get points on the board and sort of really reverse the negative factor around them at the moment.
A quick shout out as well whilst we're on, James. Obviously, Harvey Barnes, that goal he got yesterday for West Brom, was one of the goals of the day. I thought it was absolute screamer from about, I don't know, 25, 30 yards. It was one of the goals of the day yesterday, I thought. And he's a great young talent, is the guy. I think he'll do well there. But he was on loan, I think, at Barnsley recently. He's from Leicester, obviously, but I think he'll have a good season for them. So that one on the bright side for them, that he had a decent game and he scored a peach of a goal as well.
Yeah, I think on that same breath, I think, you know, looking through their squad from yesterday, I think it will be a real sort of breakout season for Oliver Burke as well. I think if he can get game time, you know, there's been a lot of talk around him sort of so far over the last year or so, and if he can get a consistent run of games for them, I think he could be one of the star performers in the league this season. So, you know, hopefully from their point of view, those two can really kick on and sort of carry them forwards. But if we move just quickly before we finish on to previews for next week, and we'll start with you first, Kevin, Andy. Obviously, you two will be playing each other. So if we start with you first, Kev, how do you see the game going against Frank Lampard's Derby County? And, you know, what is your prediction going into it?
Well, obviously, it's going to be a late kickoff next Saturday, and obviously the focus is going to be on Frank's first home game in charge of Derby. So all the attention will be on Lampard and his team. So obviously, for a change, we'll be sort of taking a back seat, really. We'll be sort of the uninvited guests, if you were, next Saturday. We just happen to be, you know, our first away game of the season. I think it'll be a tough game because we never sort of do well at Pride Park or any previous grounds they've had over the years. But it's going to be a tough game. Obviously, he's got momentum at the moment. Didn't play that well over 90 minutes, I didn't think, against Reading, but got the result because of the Lampard factor, I suppose. If he made the changes for the substitutes, and it worked for him. So whatever he touches at the moment is doing, you know, turning to gold. So it's going to be a tough from that aspect. But hopefully, if we can play a similar sort of game that we did today, hopefully we'll give them a good game at least. And, you know, if we can get some sort of result, I'd be quite happy just to keep our momentum going as well. So it's very important at this time of the season to get good results and not get any defeats. And if you can manage that, the momentum with the whole team and the crowd sort of gets behind them, and the momentum starts to progress. So it's a tough game to call, but you know, if my mate Richard Keogh's playing, I think it'll be an entertaining game. So I think, you know, we might squeeze a draw out of it, if anything.
Yeah, and the same question to you, Andy. Obviously, to not make it biased, I'll single in on the Leeds manager, who probably gives the best post-match interviews I've seen for quite a while, with his his assistant Kev basically whispering in his ear.
It's his interpreter, who happens to be an assistant as well. But yeah, it were a very unusual interview, but I think he's doing his best to learn a bit of English. But it was entertaining.
Yeah, I think the thing that made me laugh about it most was the fact that his interpreter sort of gave him the answer in English, which he seemed to understand because he'd take on board what he said. repeat it, but gave his own slight twist on it as well, which I wasn't sure why he needed the interpreter, but there we go.
It was funny.
Yeah, so Andy, how do you see the game going? What would be your sort of score prediction, and how do you see it sort of going for the 90 minutes?
It's a very difficult one to predict because neither side with their opening games has shown their full hand of cards. We've got three new signings that's yet to get on the pitch with George Evans, who I think will be more of a squad player. Florian Josefsson didn't get on the pitch the other night at Reading. And obviously Jack Marriott, who was banging in the goals in League One for Peterborough, wasn't even on the bench on Friday night. And to be honest, I think Lampard's doing a sensible thing with Marriott, because quite often prolific scorers in League One haven't always performed as well when they've made the move up to the Championship. And he's probably wanting to get him going 100% on the training ground before introducing him to the matchday squad. Leeds didn't start Patrick Bamford today. He's bound to score, being an ex-Derby player. And they've got a manager who's he's highly respected from previous jobs he's done, and he's also known as a bit of an eccentric as well. I think it'll be a tight game. Now, if it ends in a draw, I won't be too disappointed. Leeds are one of the teams that I expect to improve quite a bit on last season. They're a sleeping Premier League club in the size of their support, and they've spent too many years out of the Premier League if you're a Leeds United fan, and I expect it to be very tight. I know they haven't got a great record against us in the past 15 or so years, but it's a different year. We played them twice last season. I thought they were the better side when we won at their place, but then they came to our side, our place. We scraped the draw, yet we were by far the better side. So it's that funny old game football. But if we get something out of the game Saturday, I'll be happy. I'll be content.
Yeah, and to move on to you now, Simeon, and the Reading game. Obviously, you travelled to Nottingham to play Nottingham Forest. Do you think that you can keep the momentum, even though you got beaten by Derby, but I think there were positive signs there. Do you think you can keep that going against Nottingham Forest, who only just sort of scraped the draw against Bristol on the opening day?
Yeah, it's a tough one to call how it's going to go, really. Forest have got some really good signings in through the door, Grabban in particular, a proven scorer at this level. I know they didn't get the win against Bristol City, but coming onto their own ground for the first time this season, they're really going to want to get their season off to a quick start and really try to push it on. But looking at the performance we put in on Friday, I'm confident that we can keep it tight at the back, really stay organised and disciplined and make it tough for them. And looking at the way that we attacked against Derby, trying to use our pace on the counter and really break on them and hurt them that way, that could work quite well away from home at Forest. Be interesting to see how we manage to make that step up from playing at home to away, but I'm encouraged. And to be honest, even if we do lose or get a draw, I won't be too worried, as long as we put in a good performance that really gives us a good account of ourselves.
Yeah, and just to touch on the Preston game, we go away to Swansea, which I think is going to be a tricky game. Obviously, they'll be buoyed by the last-minute victory against Sheffield United. And even though we got the win against QPR yesterday, we didn't look particularly convincing. You know, we had a lot of the ball, but there was just not much in the final third, which has been sort of the problem sort of all summer, really. And it's quite obvious that Neil wants to bring someone in from his sort of pre- and post-match comments. But, you know, when you've got an owner who sort of, for the most part, doesn't want to spend the money, you know, it's a bit frustrating from his point of view. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens between now and Thursday, especially if we can bring in sort of someone who either as a young sort of forward with a bit of pace while Maguire's out injured, or I know today we've been linked with John Walters on loan from Burnley, which, you know, while not a particularly inspiring signing, is a player that knows this division and, you know, you can always count on him to chip in with a goal or two. So I think if we can get someone in over the line, I think, you know, it'll be quite a close game. Couldn't call it. So if I was to say anything, I'll probably go for a draw, you know, sit on the fence. And 4 points from the opening two games without a defeat, you know, I'd be more than happy with, especially considering our sort of next four or five games are all quite difficult. I think we play Stoke, Leeds, Derby over the next few weeks. So I know I'll be chatting to you and to you too, Kevin, Andy, over the next couple of weeks especially. So, you know, if we can get off to a decent-ish start, the fixtures ease up after that. So, you know, if we can go after that international break in and around the playoffs and, you know, hopefully kick on between then and Christmas, I'll be quite a happy fan. But with that, we're out of time. If you guys want to tell everyone that sort of any social media projects you're involved in or how they can follow you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, Kevin from Leeds United Mad, Leeds United_Mad on Twitter and Facebook as well. I'll be on Proper Sport Radio tomorrow morning discussing today's victory against Stoke about 8:15 if anybody wants to tune in. And probably on other shows during the week as well that involve Proper Sport. So tune into that station. It's a great local station for Yorkshire sport. And I'll speak to everybody soon.
Andy Buckley-Taylor. Derby County blogger for the Derbyshire Times and sister newspapers. You can find me on Twitter at BuckTaylor64 and the Facebook page, Buck Taylor's Derby Blog.
Simeon Pickup, editor of the Tilehurst End. You can find us on Twitter at the Tilehurst End and same name for Facebook. And you can find me on Twitter at SimFromBucks.
Yeah, and as I said at the start, you can follow me on my personal Twitter, which is @_JamesVickers. I mainly tweet about Preston North End, the Championship, and a bit of German football as well. And most importantly, you can reach us on the show at Championship Pod, where our weekly episode is tweeted out each Monday or Tuesday, depending on which day we record. So definitely give us a follow and make sure you don't miss an episode. But cheers for joining me today, guys. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and we'll hopefully have you on again soon.